Ryan Day, Big Ten Media Days, trying to defend the Big Ten. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Not that the Big Ten needs defending, Pearl. They've had the last two national champions, him, Michigan the year before that, their biggest rival. But trying to defend that the Big Ten is just as deep as the SEC, or, you know, top to bottom, that the Big Ten is just as good of a conference.
Yeah. Okay. It's funny. Ryan Day is the one guy who probably could say this because they just kicked everyone's butt in the 12-team yeah. playoff.
It's a good time to
good
say
spot.
It. Yeah.
But fair. I mean, I don't know why the Big Ten is doing this. They should just partner with the SEC and say, we're the Big Ten SEC. The SEC is also saber-rattling, but they feel like they're fine partnering with the Big Ten. I don't know why the Big Ten is sort of positioning themselves as the little brother in this situation.
I don't think they are. They?
Well, you just said Ryan Day is defending the Big Ten.
I don't think they're seeing themselves as a little brother, because the bigger thing that's happening is this sort of fight over how are we going to determine the college football champion moving forward.
Right, and they want to go 4-4-2-2 because they're afraid that if they don't have four automatic bids, which means four for SEC, automatic bids in the playoff, that is, four for the Big Ten, two for ACC, and two for Big 12. It sounds like they're afraid if we don't have four automatic bids, we won't get four teams in, because which makes him the little brother in this situation, because they're afraid big brother SEC is going to take all those spots.
I think maybe they're worried about what he would say, because he said it yesterday, is they don't think it's fair to leave so much up to the committee, I think, because the Big Ten plays 9 conference games and the SEC is playing 8 conference games. So they would say, listen, we are, you know, we have the more robust, you know, sort of conference schedules, and we don't want to get locked out of a spot because maybe somebody has a loss, you know, and maybe it doesn't look as good, the strength of schedule, because teams are beating up on themselves a little bit more. I don't know.
Well, those two things are a bit contradictory. I think, I think reality is, though, he knows that the perception of the SEC is nationally, I think, is still, and based on history, maybe more than reality, is stronger. And he knows that. I mean, by the way, Ohio State's always going to get it. The committee loves Ohio State, which is the irony of this. In 2014, they put him in over my Baylor Bears and TCU Horned Frogs, and they put him in this year, no doubt, even though they lost to Michigan. So Ohio State will be fine. But I still think the reality is, it doesn't matter. I don't care in the NIL era. You can't really look at the Big Ten and SEC and say they're the same right now. SEC, just look at the quarterbacks. There's so many more stars than the Big Ten. Big Ten, Ohio State's the best team, arguably, or Penn State. Who's the quarterback of Ohio State? I was just reading that it's not even a sure thing to be Julian Sayin.
Right. Well, that's actually one of the interesting things about Ohio State. They have this big quarterback battle that's going on, and they did not bring a quarterback to the Big Ten media days. So not one person is like representing the team at the league's biggest media function. And that's what is making this interesting. Doesn't mean people don't think Ohio State's not going to be a good team, though, no matter who's quarterback.
Yeah, of course. But I just think the SEC, you just look at some of the contenders right now and like, whoa, they're kind of stacked. Ohio State has arguably the best player, but generally the SEC goes pretty deep, in my opinion.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. And the best player you're talking about that Ohio State has in the country
is, of course, Jeremiah Smith.
Okay, so Jeremiah Smith is the wide receiver. Let's get to our college football superlative from today. We're asking you who is going to have the best sophomore season. Who will be the best sophomore? Do you think it's automatically Jeremiah Smith, or is there someone else who you think will improve so much they will get themselves into that realm? Ryan Williams.
It's to the point when we discussed having this topic, I said, are we taking Jeremiah Smith out because it's so obvious it's going to be him that I don't even think you could have this conversation in any realistic way. So yes, Jeremiah Smith for sure. He could be the number one wide receiver on at least 15 NFL teams today.
Wow.
He is, and I have no doubt about that.
Did you say the same thing about Marvin Harrison Jr.?
He is definitely better than Marvin Harrison.
I'm just saying, did you say that though about Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Not as a sophomore, no. Did Marvin Harrison even start by then?
I think that's what a lot of people said about Marvin Harrison Jr. is that he got taken 4th overall in the draft because of that. Here's my question, though, about Jeremiah Smith. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not playing devil's advocate. He's amazing. He's freaking awesome. We all know that. But is the pack going to catch up to him at all? Like, is he going to keep getting better, or is it? did he just start off with such gangbusters? He's so talented, but does he have more to grow, or is this sort of his ceiling? I have no idea. We're going to find out.
I mean, if that's his ceiling, that's fine. He was the best player. I mean, you saw what happened when Notre Dame finally let up and did not double team him. He burned them immediately in the national title game, and the game over.
You think he's going to win the Heisman this year?
No, probably not.
Well, why not? Wide receivers win the Heisman.
Because the wide receiver, he could, but the best player doesn't always win the Heisman. I mean, just because he's the best, it's just hard. I'm not sure they put up the numbers. I don't know who his quarterback is. I feel like the Heisman has a different guideline. I don't know. I can't exactly explain that, but one thing, he's already established last year, so he might not have the improvement you need. He doesn't need it. It just feels like the Heisman likes a news story. I would not put my money on him, no. Would you? I mean, no, it's going to be amazing.
But you're making this case healthy. That he'd be better. He'd be a wide receiver one on 15 NFL teams. Yeah. When you're that far and away, who's the last person, even as a position player, who was that amazing who didn't get the Heisman?
Oh, I mean, lots of players. I'm sure. I don't remember.
Because Devontae Smith won the Heisman. Like, they will give it to a running back. Well, Derrick Henry won the Heisman.
You mean just the skill position players? I'm sure, like, Orlando Pace or somebody was already, sure.
I'm talking about the skill position. I think it's very hard for defensive guys.
We're talking a sophomore. It's like, Devontae Smith took forever to even get into the starting lineup. I mean, he was at Alabama. Remember, he was pinned behind all those other superstars. No, I don't think, Devontae Smith kind of had a huge leap, right? So that's why he got it. You ever heard of the Heismanments? Like, there's a certain set of rules like that you need to follow to get the Heisman. You can't peak too early because then you get used to it. Jeremiah Smith is peaking now. I mean, where is he in odds? He's like fourth, right? He's the only non-quarterback on that entire list. But I don't think, we're not talking about the Heisman. We're talking about the best player. Cam Ward wasn't in the Heisman mix, and he was no doubt number one pick, right?
Yeah, but was he the best player, or did the Tennessee Titans just need a quarterback really badly?
He would have gone number one, I think, in any draft. I mean,
yeah, but that's also just because who was picking number one? Because it's not true. He wouldn't have gone number one if, you know, the Ravens had the first pick. It happened to be a very quarterback needy team.
I think
was
someone
at the top
traded into that spot to get him. He was going to go number one, in my opinion. But I think there's an analogy there. Like, Cam Ward didn't even really, I know he was in New York, right? But nobody thought he was going to win the Heisman. Just because he's the best player doesn't mean he won't win the Heisman. Like, again, you have to be in the right situation. You have to get the right numbers.
I mean, you just had Travis Hunter win I know it was interesting. Yeah. It was different because he was playing both ways. It was unique, novel, the whole deal. But essentially, wide receiver won.
Yeah, I mean, Jaden Daniels won, and nobody thought he was going to go well ahead of Caleb Williams. That was, I guess,
they both won Heismans.
We recently had a report, right? But generally, I don't think being the best, the number one pick is not always a Heisman. Anyway, I'm not sure the question is who's the best sophomore. It's obviously him, regardless of who wins a Heisman. Ryan Williams, by the way, is that who you're going to go with?
I was not going to go with him, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, he was good, but the guy weighs like 150 pounds, and you saw him fade in front of your eyes as the season went on. Like, teams figured him out and just got physical, and his production went down. So I love Ryan Williams. He's fantastic. He's brilliant, but he is not Jeremiah Smith.
If I was going to pick who I think is going to have the best sophomore season, it's somebody who may end up winning the Heisman a little easier, maybe because he's a quarterback, but I think it's Lenore Sellers. I think that would be, I picked him a bit over Dylan Raiola, who I also thought about for this superlative best sophomore season. I think you look at not just the projection of Sellers, DJ Lagway, I guess, could have been also in this conversation. No doubt people are very excited about him. I'm going to go with Sellers because I think that it's going to be that jump that everyone is looking for. People already think DJ Lagway is amazing, right? People already call Dylan Raiola little Mahomes, right? He's already got the haircut and everything that was like Patrick Mahomes. I think Sellers, and not in South Carolina, and maybe not with the SEC most faithful, but still has a mystery about him that is going to be unveiled. And I think he's going to be a lot better this year. So I'm going to go with Lenore Sellers is going to be the guy who gets the most sophomore attention.
I would say, yeah, I like that pick, but he's getting a lot of attention. He's not going to come out of nowhere.
But not like DJ Lagway. I feel like Lagway's getting a little bit more. Maybe because Florida's history as a football program is a little bit richer than South Carolina.
Lagway was a number one overall recruit kind of guy.
Right.
Whereas Sellers is not. Yeah, no, listen, it's a great choice. And I'm sure the Heisman odds reflect that too. Who's higher? I bet you Sellers is above Jeremiah, right?
I would imagine just by virtue of the position.
But I think Jeremiah is like fourth, so But who's honestly, if you could draft one? I heard a draft expert the other day say Jeremiah Smith will be in the draft next year, could go ahead of Arch and Lagway. Like, he is the freakiest freak, and he's better. I love Marvin Harrison. Thought he was a sick recruit. And yeah. Sick. Jeremiah Smith's better in every way. And Marvin Harrison, where there's nothing like, I think you're underselling how special this guy is. He is the most unique wide receiver. He's like fully developed Calvin Johnson as a true sophomore. He's unbelievable.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's get to our sports nicknames.
64 nicknames were entered, but only one will win. It's Maggie and Perloff's search for the greatest nickname in sports.
All right, we brought you the Sweet 16 offerings for Hoops and Handles last hour. So that's Air Jordan against Black Mamba, Pistol Pete against Magic. Let's now go to the Legends and Legacy region, where we are also into the Sweet 16. And the number one seed in this region, Wayne Gretzky, the Great One, goes up against the 12th seed, the Galloping Ghost Red Grange.
Please give it up for the White Tornado, the Maine Wayne, the Manada from Canada, the Great One himself, Wayne Gretzky!
Forgive me,
but... bar, cigarettes, a fountain pen, a doll. He was in movies. It doesn't hurt to have a good nickname. And the Galloping Ghost has to be one of the best nicknames any football player has ever had. He was so big that even 50 years after he last carried the ball, his name still resounded in the sports world.
Okay, so you had the Great One, you had the Galloping Ghost, and sorry, I jumped on it. I was just thinking about something. So that was a Stephen Colbert calling him the White Tornado, and the, did Colbert do that for all of his guests? Because maybe the show would still be on the air. That was really funny.
Oh, wow. Wow. Ooh, didn't see that one.
Too soon, Maggie.
Yeah.
Sorry.
By the way, I like the Maine Wayne. That's I've like never heard of that. It's a little close to something else, though.
What?
Forget it. Move on.
I missed it. I can't. I'm trying to think of all the rhymes, and I'm not finding it.
Something tawdry?
Tell me in the break.
Yeah, something, I guess, a little tawdry. I can't decide. When a man has to go to the bathroom, they say, I have to...
What? You have to Maine Wayne it? I have no idea what you're saying.
You have to drain.
Oh.
You know that expression, right?
Oh, yeah. I just did it like twice in the last hour.
Thank you, Manny. I'm sure America's so thrilled they just learned that.
I'm sorry about that, America.
You drain the Maine Wayne.
I've never heard that before.
You've never heard that expression?
No.
Oh.
That's fine.
I got to go to the bathroom. I have to...
Drain the Maine Wayne? Never heard of it.
Except not Wayne.
Oh,
there
I'm
it is,
sorry.
There it is.
I don't even know if
this is
R-rated.
This is like for fifth graders. By the way,
it's over the air. No dumps. So
there you go.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know if that is getting dumped. That's a pretty.
We're Disney Radio. If that's getting dumped. Okay, let's continue on the Legends and Legacy. The third seed in this region is the Great Bambino.
Is the curse of the Bambino over?
Ooh, what is that?
What is that?
Sounds like a scary ghost.
Yes, I'm scared, Tina. It's a terrifying ghost.
What are you talking about, lady? I cursed the hell out of them good-for-nothing Red Sox. Yeah. What about that game, that 19-8 game? Yeah, I tried to mess up Schilling's ankle. Blood coming out of his sock and everything. Hey, you know what? I also gave Johnny Damon that lady's haircut.
That was Horatio Sanz playing the ghost of the Great Bambino on SNL, if you were a little confused. So that's the third seed, the Great Bambino, who faces off against the second seed, the Say Hey Kid, Willie Mays.
Willie would go around saying hey a lot. Willie was also terrible with names, so he would always say, instead of addressing someone by his or her name, he would just say, hey, you, or hey, how you doing? So a sports writer at the time called him the Say Hey Kid. Literally, he did say hey, and he was a kid.
There you go.
So there it is. The one seed, the Great One, Wayne Gretzky, against the 12 seed, the Galloping Ghost, and the Great Bambino against the Say Hey Kid, and the voting is now open in that region for the Sweet 16.
Iconic name. The old school baseball. Now, this is basically a battle of old school versus new school. Galloping Ghosts. I can't wait. I still like the 80s, 90s NBA. It's going to win. Air Jordan. Who else is alive in the 80s?
Black 90s? Mamba.
Magic.
Pistol Pete and Magic.
Yeah, I feel like basketball deserves to win this whole thing. Sorry, baseball. Say Hey Kid, that's a great story. I did not know that. But
so
basketball.
There are more basketball names. Should I go through those quickly, EJ? Because we've got results. Give me a thumbs up. Should we do the results for the Flash and Fun region while we're here? All right, cool. I'm getting thumbs up. So let's do it. This is fascinating. The only region, Pearl, where the number one seed bit the bullet.
Whoa.
Big Poppy goes home.
Big Dominican lunch with Big Poppy.
William the Fridge Perry moves on. 60% of the vote.
Perry. That one registered 3.8. Another Super Bowl record, the first refrigerator to score.
So the Fridge took out Big Poppy, William Refrigerator Perry.
What if the Fridge went against Sweetness, recreating the controversy from the 1985 Super Bowl where Fridge got a touchdown and Dicka did not give any red zone carries to Walter Payton? That would be like history repeating itself, Maggie.
Maybe we could finally just settle the score, you know?
Oh, man, our friend Jared Payton, Walter's son, would not be happy if Sweetness lost to the Fridge.
Let's move on in the Flash and Fun region where we have another upset. The 12th seed continues. That'd be Beast Mode, Marshawn Lynch.
Hennessy.
Beast Mode took out Shaq Diesel.
No, it says I'm going to knock your ass out.
And it wasn't close, 63% to 37%. We're talking nicknames here. Beast Mode, that much better than the Diesel?
Yeah, I think Shaq was a victim of having too many nicknames.
He nicknamed himself a lot.
Yeah, half of them self-proclaimed. When you have 14 nicknames and you can rattle them off and then rap about them, I think you're hurting yourself.
You know, he and Kobe had such a fraught relationship, but they both gave themselves a lot of nicknames. So
also,
they had that in common.
Beast Mode is awesome.
And it moves on. So it will face off against the Fridge in the Sweet 16. Pearl, you'll be happy to know that Dr. J has made it through to the Sweet 16.
Dr. J. Irving and the Virginia Squires.
And Dr. J took out someone near and dear to the show. We talk about him almost every day. Primetime Deontay.
Caden's off the chain.
Dr. J moves on. Primetime goes home in our nickname
Shiloh?
Bracket. What about Shiloh? The 10th seed in this region goes home. The human highlight film, Dominique Wilkins. Pearl just could not withstand the run by the round mound of rebound, Charles Barkley.
But they do have some big old women.
Who goes on to the Sweet 16. So there you go. The Flash and Fun region. The next matchups will be the Fridge against Beast Mode and Dr. J against the round mound of rebound.
Gosh.
Philly v. Philly right there.
I got to tell you, they're lower seeds, but number 9 seed Fridge against number 12 seed Beast Mode. I'm fascinated who comes out of that battle.
Cinderella story. So there you go. You can go vote for all the Maggie and Perloff nickname regions, and they are now live. Let's take a quick break. We see you guys on the phones. You want to talk about another Philadelphia legend. That'd be Jalen Hurts. We're asking, is he an elite quarterback? Do that next.
All right, y'all. We'll be back in 10. We got to drain the main vein, man. Stick around.
Daily.
Do you believe in that?
Dion.
You believe in that?
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. How are we doing, Daily Dion? It's Big Ten Media Days. Practice hasn't started. What has this guy gotten himself into now, Maggie?
Well, I can tell you, what is one of your favorite drops on this show that Manny plays?
Don't forget about Shiloh.
What about Shiloh?
Well, Dion has not forgotten about Shiloh. The Colorado head coach, according to Rick Stroud, who covers the Bucks, is at practice with the Tampa Bay Bucks today, watching his son, safety, Shiloh Sanders.
Okay. And let's not forget Shiloh.
He did not forget about Shiloh.
I don't really have a big problem with that.
No, why would anyone have a problem with it? It's just, it's kind of I wonder if Deion's going to go to Browns camp because
Shiloh
wasn't drafted, but Shador fell from what we thought was going to be a first-round pick, tumbled all the way down to the fifth round. We don't think that was purely football-focused.
Don't forget, you know I had two sons, right?
You have three, sir.
I think he should. First of all, I do think he will go to Cleveland, and that's going to be awesome. I think Cleveland's quarterback battle is going to be an all-consuming NFL hurricane that's going to eat up every headline, and Deion's going to be there. It's going to make it even better. Don't you agree that he'll probably go?
Yeah, and by the way, I don't think that's necessarily a terrible thing, but it depends about the context. Like, what's going on in Brown's training camp? Is he going to show up the day that, you know, a day after Shador looks great or throws two picks, or the day after Kenny Pickett twists an ankle? You know, a lot has to do with what's going on around the Browns when Deion decides to show up.
It feels almost so chaotic there, whatever this quarterback situation is. Like, can Deion do any more damage to the Browns right now? Like,
he never could.
Other teams didn't want to bring Deion into the building. That was the thought, the why Shador fell. The Browns have nothing to lose here because I don't feel like, what do they have to lose? They almost want to tank and get a quarterback next year anyway. It's such a chaotic situation.
And let's not forget Shiloh.
We will not forget about Shiloh.
Shiloh is going to be a human missile in that Tampa Bay. He's going to get a penalty on it because that's what he did at Colorado. He's going to get so many flags.
Yeah, if you have to get that many flags, it means you don't belong.
Or like you're like one of those that used to be in the 90s. Just you could get an undrafted safety. Just like, I'm going to lead with my helmet on every play.
Let's go to Derek, who's in Baltimore, wants to weigh in on this thing we're doing called One Big Quarterback Question. We're going to ask one a day leading up to the season. We started with the reigning Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles and asked if Jalen Hurts is a top 10 quarterback. We didn't just come up with this question out of thin air, by the way. I know we're super creative and awesome, but Cam Newton is the one who first said it. What's up, Derek? How are you?
How you guys doing? I get Cam said it, but Maggie, I'm disappointed in you big time. Listen, okay, for one, I'm a Niners fan. I have no dog in the fight. Jalen Hurts is not top 10. He's top 5. He's not even fifth. He's fourth. Listen, you cannot blame him for his GM and his coach doing what they are supposed to do. As a GM and coach, you're supposed to put great coaches around your quarterback, a defense around your running quarterback, great players offensively.
Yeah.
For Cam to say that is, for one, Cam made no sense. How can you say he's a great quarterback, but you don't know where to rank him? You rank him amongst the great quarterbacks.
I think where Cam feels like he has a leg to stand on is when he looks at the team that was around him in Carolina. That roster offensively was not, or defensively, frankly, was not close to what the Philadelphia Eagles are putting on the field. So
that's not
right. So Cam had to do a lot more. The team was more reliant just on him. So he has this whole thing about, are you part of the system or are you the system? Cam was
okay.
The system.
Well, then blame your front office. Every quarterback in the NFL would love to have what Jalen Hurts has. But that does not take away from Jalen Hurts and what he has done. The man has been to two Super Bowls, outplayed Mahomes in both. If it wasn't for that fumble, 6, in the first one, he might have won that one. But what we're not going to do is sit here and act like and play this what-if game, because I heard you say earlier, what if Hurts was on this? We could play that all day. Guess what? What if Chicago didn't draft Trubisky and they drafted Mahomes? Would we be talking about Mahomes as a Super Bowl winning quarterback? No.
So
we could do the what if. We could do the what if all day. The bottom line is,
Derek, you're right, and he has elevated himself in the postseason. It's obviously touches a nerve here because it's not so easy cut and dry when it comes to Jalen Hurts, because you could maybe do the same thing if Jalen Hurts was on the Chicago Bears or if Patrick Mahomes, would they be winning Super Bowls? But who would you still see Mahomes' greatness? I think you would.
Wow, that C on your helmet can gut pretty much. It's like kryptonite to quarterback
Derek,
Superman.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Yeah. You're making great points. I understand. But I'm not trying to take anything away from Jalen Hurts' accomplishments. What I'm asking is, if he didn't have such a great team around him, if the tush push was eliminated, if he didn't have some of the advantages, would you still think of him as elite? If I put Josh Allen on the Bears, if I put Patrick Mahomes on the Browns, I'm still seeing their greatness. So it's Hurts, Purdy, Jared Goff, these guys who are amazing. Do you think Jared Goff would be great on the Browns? Purdy? I know Goff was the number one overall pick.
But also, too, you said you knew Josh Allen would be super anywhere. I mean, Josh Allen's trajectory was not so obvious either. Like, I think I think everybody needs the right system around them. And Josh Allen luckily, he could have gone the other way, too. I mean, it was dicey that first year. I remember that.
Yeah, but what's...
Then he got some good coaches in there, and things sort of evened out.
He
got better, but you have to admit, like, the things around him got better, too.
If it was just his coaches, then why hasn't Brian Daboll... Why hasn't he turned, you know...
He got the playoffs with Dan Jones.
And what... Okay, got to the playoffs with Dan Jones. And where's Dan Jones today?
I just think that... It's an oversimplification to say that quarterback talent alone is going to win all this. You know, you need the right coach, you need the right system, you need a marriage. It's very much a team sport. And by the way, can I just defend, like, we're killing the team around camp. That team in 2015 was loaded. I'm looking at their defense, and they were loaded.
Just like your Eagles? Look at the offense.
But look at the defense. They had, I hear you, but they were also, remember, they were 15-1. That was a great team. They had Kaywon Chure, Thomas Davis, Luke Kuechly, Josh Norman in his peak. They had a lot of guys. Like, it was not a bad team. And also Cam, the reason that Cam did everything is because Cam wouldn't hand the ball off in the red zone. He's like, I'm going to have every 3-yard touchdown run. Sorry, Jonathan Stewart, you don't get any.
Offense here.
Yeah.
You want to put, okay, Luke Kuechly, fine.
No, definitely the offense.
Greg Olsen was the tight end. I'm sorry, Greg Olsen. Yeah. Greg Olsen, here's your leading receivers. Greg Olsen, your tight end, was your leading receiver. Yeah. Okay. With 1,100 yards. Then next after that was Ted Ginn Jr.
Right.
With 739 yards.
Yeah.
Jericho Cotchery.
Yeah.
Corey Brown, Devin Funchess.
Love Devin Funchess. But partly because Cam Newton did not like to throw to receivers, too. They weren't great. I'm not saying that Ted Ginn Jr. was Marvin Harrison Jr., but Marvin Harrison. But generally, though, whatever. Like, Cam, the Panthers had a great quarterback in Cam, and they started to build the system around him. Like, it's not just talent. And when Cam maybe got there in 2011, they're like, let's build a great run team and a great defensive team around Cam Newton. It's a team sport. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying Cam wasn't great, but this thing about Jalen, I get what he's talking about. He won two playoff games where he only threw for 130 yards. Cam's argument, of course, makes sense. But come on, you are totally underestimating what Jalen Hurts can do. If Jalen Hurts wanted to throw for 5,000 yards, he could, Maggie. I'm telling you right now, they just don't want to do that in Philly.
Which is funny, because they've got these two really highly paid receivers, and they said that the passing game is broken. But if he can do all these amazing things, why don't they do it?
Because they saw the formula. Same with Kansas City. They saw the formula. Slow the game down, and it takes pressure off our defense, so our pass rushers are going to be just shot out of a cannon when they get on the field. What changed this year with Philly? It was Saquon.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of an indictment on Jalen, though? That they were like, sorry, even though you have these high-priced receivers, we need to get literally like the best running back in order to win. That says a lot about what they think about their passing game.
But, I mean, they barely paid anything for Saquon. He was available.
No, they paid him a lot.
And now they just paid him again.
How much did they pay him at first? 12?
Yeah, but I mean, he was one of the highest paid running backs in the NFL. That was the whole
They just gave
deal.
Him $40 million, which is a lot for a running back.
After he blew up, they really paid him. But
no, but they did. They went out and made that. And to be honest, I feel like the Chiefs, one of the reasons why they started to do this is because the receiver core started to lose some bodies, you know?
But I do think it's a good formula, obviously. And I think you're also, everyone's underestimating Jalen Hurts' legs. He only uses them now when he needs them, but that guy is an all-time running quarterback. He's fantastic with his leg. Early on, it was unbelievable to watch him escape people.
Let's get to Bogus's headlines. You're welcome,
Maggie,
to weigh in.
I'm disappointed in you.
Oh, my gosh. That was the most disappointed anyone's ever been in me, how Derek in Baltimore said that.
Maggie, I'm disappointed.
Well, I love
that. It was real disappointment.
You actually preemptively tried to blame Cam.
Yeah, I caught that too.
Yeah, did you guys catch that?
I'm like, to be clear, Cam Newton, the one who started this.
Well, you know, I love people like to throw the "you never played the game." How can you weigh in on this? Well, Cam Newton was MVP of the league, and he said it.
Maggie, I'm disappointed.
Don't hide behind the massive frame of Cam Newton.
I will hide behind that all day.
Derek's not falling for it.
What's up, Oak?
Guys, the Washington
Commanders
have now placed Terry McLaurin on the did not report list. The wideout did not check into training camp yesterday, still wanting a new deal instead of playing on the final year of his current one. McLaurin is fined $50,000 for each day missed.
He is apparently doing yoga in VA, though.
I was just going to say, a random Commander fan had him in his yoga class this morning. So unlike Trey Hendrickson, he is nearby. Mm. He can get to Commander's camp ASAP. Hendrickson is multiple states away from the Bengals. So maybe McLaurin's path to camp's a little quicker.
And also, cited, you might have said this, I'm sorry, Hendrickson drove, right, to... He did a road trip like you and I were planning to do. He took his car out of camp in Cincinnati and drove to Jacksonville overnight. So halfway across the country.
That's a long drive.
I was going to say, the road trip you and I were planning to do is really rewriting how this went down when Bogush offered to drive with you to San Antonio and you said, no thanks, I'm good.
A good point. I misremembered how that went down.
Right. And are you 4 years late on this drive? I mean, are you ever going to go on it with anybody?
Well, we had to wait for Greg.
Oh, I know where you're going.
Don't blame Greg Popovich for this.
We did. We had to first blame. We're not blaming Greg Popovich. He got sick, and we thought it'd be indelicate to then ask the Spurs if we could pull off this silly thing. And then Wemby got hurt, and that's the whole reason why we were going, is so that Perloff could apologize for calling him Wembanyama.
No, there's a lot of pressure. I got a mean tweet, text from Nick in Texas, longtime show fan, saying, "When are you coming down, dude?"
Mm-hmm.
Wembanyama.
Yeah, okay. I'm looking at some calendars and some paths. I mean, if Trey Hendrickson wants to come with me, but apparently he dude loves to drive.
Can I ask you a question? Now, I said I didn't want to go, and I still don't, but how about this? Can you and I drive together? You can drop me off at a Waffle House. I can start paying off that bet while you continue on to San Antonio, and I'll find my own way back.
Probably how would you find your own way back?
I might want to walk. From central Pennsylvania or something.
Just walk off all that, all those calories?
Mm-hmm.
No, because I don't want to miss the Waffle House thing.
Yeah.
I want to see that. I want to see you talking about your throw-up cup. You're going to need a whole bunch of those. You know, these Yetis that you continue to use after you barfed in them. You're going to need a whole bunch of those.
The Waffle House waitress is like, Maggie, I know that you just... I'm going to move this cup. Move it. No, we're not putting any more water in it.
You might get cut off from pancakes. Or waffles, whatever the heck you need to eat. Yeah, at Waffle House. Whatever, dog.
You get pancakes, too.
What was that?
You can get pancakes, I think.
Yeah, you see, why are you coming after me?
America's favorite head coach, Sean McDermott, just said he expects James Cook to practice today. The running back reporting to camp on time yesterday, despite his desire for an extension.
Go Bills.
The best first baseman in the NL West made his debut last night.
Suero to the plate. Devers swings and a sharp ground ball base hit between first and second. Ramos to third. He runs through a stop sign. Acuna's throw is not in time.
Rafi Devers, two hits. That RBI in San Francisco's 9-0 win in Atlanta. First time he played first base for those Giants. The Twins outscored the Dodgers 10-7. Royce Lewis drove in three without a hit, and LA has now dropped 11 of its last 14. Logan Gilbert, K-10 over 6 1/3. The Mariners snapped the Brewers' 11-game win streak, 1-0 in Seattle. Jacob deGrom, K-9 over 6. The Rangers beat the A's 6-2, and the Guardians staying hot.
Jose Ramirez with a drive. Deep right field. Gone again.
Tom Hamilton, Guardians radio host Jose Ramirez, his seventh homer in 12 games. Cleveland top Baltimore 6-3. They're 4-1 since the All-Star break. They've won 10 of 12 overall. The Las Vegas Aces had the first three-game winning streak of their season, 87-72 winners over the Dream. Asia Wilson, 24 points, 12 boards, and 5 assists. And how about Venus Williams? Last night, her first official singles match since March of 2024, and she won it in straight sets in D.C. over 23-year-old Peyton Stearns. At 45 years old, Venus is the second oldest woman to win a tour-level singles match. A 47-year-old, Martina Navratilova, won at Wimbledon back in 2004. Guys, back to you.
Thank you, Bogush. Coming up, see you guys on the phones. You still want to weigh in on Jalen Hurts? Let's do it at 888-710-4ISN. Also, you will not believe whose home you can rent on Airbnb.
Wow. I'll
tell you about that next, M&P. All right, teased it before we went into the break. Guess whose mansion is now listed on Airbnb, Pearl?
Who?
Somebody you love, and I love them too. Michael Air Jordan. You can now stay at Michael Jordan's mansion in Highland Park, Illinois. He sold it to somebody, obviously. It's not there anymore. Can I tell you some of the amenities?
Is it, wait, let me just ask. Is this the one in the documentary with 23 on the outside on the gates?
Yes. The okay. 23 on the gates. Yeah. Now, that's not, the photo of that's not in the listing. It's 7.39 acres, 7 bedrooms, 17 and a half bathrooms.
Wait. 7 bedrooms and 17 bathrooms? Jesus.
That's a lot of bathrooms, no?
Yeah, a little bit.
A movie theater, a gym, a cigar lounge, of course,
yeah.
Pool tables, saltwater aquariums, also a swimming pool, a fishing pond stacked with bass and bluegill, a putting green, and a basketball court. You get the rent. You can rent the mansion. You have to sign a non-disclosure agreement.
Oh.
And a liability waiver, and pay a $25,000 security deposit. You cannot host parties or events on the property, and a maximum of 12 guests can stay in the house. No pets allowed.
You can still have 5 bathrooms left over.
Everyone sleeps in their own in their favorite tub. A minimum 7-night reservation is required, making the price of a stay at Jordan's old house $120,920 per week. Any takers?
That's all the conditions make it sound not as fun.
I just wonder, why would you need the non-disclosure agreement? Not there.
So you can't do a lot of like Instagram tours of it. Like you can't, that probably means you're not allowed to do live video from there and put it out on the internet, which I think like a lot of people would want to do.
Yeah, don't you think that would help them rent out the house more often if you got a little taste from some of these influencers or something?
That's what I'm saying. This sounds no fun. These were like, why would anyone do this? So like, you can have the house, but you can't break anything. It's kind of like,
well, you don't want to break anything. It's someone else's home. You know, it's not Michael Jordan's home anymore. Someone named John Cooper bought it for $9.5 million.
Yeah, you're right. So what is the NDA about?
That's what I'm wondering. I'm like, is there some of Jordan's old stuff in there? No. And by the way, Michael Jordan, I don't think it was on the market for 12 years. Like, Jordan hasn't lived there in a long time.
To sell that house.
I think, I'm assuming he and his first wife may have had to split the proceeds. Yeah. I have no idea, but Michael Jordan's house, his old house, $120,920 per week.
So I'm very interested in this fishing pond. How big is it to have this many fish in it? And instead of a putting green, if I had enough room, I would build a 3-hole golf course in my backyard. It's a fantasy of mine in the rich Andrew Perloff world.
I think you have something in common then with Patrick Mahomes. If I'm remembering right from the first edition of Quarterback, didn't he build like a golf course in his backyard?
Did he really? Okay, I don't remember. I might have missed that one, but would that be a dream to not just have a putting green, but to actually play like a 200-yard hole? That'd be so cool. No pressure. You could play whatever you wanted. You don't have to wait for anyone in front of you. I think are you into any of that? A fishing pond? That'd be cool too.
I think a pond is fun if you're rich. That's cool.
You know what the ultimate was?
Flex.
Tony Stewart had a stream that ran through the indoor part of his house with fish.
What?
Yeah, in Indiana. I'm not joking.
That's cool.
I wish I wasn't poor.
That's amazing. So he had a water feature in his home?
It cut through right the middle, like, kind of like an indoor pool, but it was an actual stream, and there were fish in it, and you could go fishing from the living room, I believe.
What do you do in the winter? There's no way that it would be drafty in your home? Like, how does that work?
Could he fall?
Such a good question.
Could he fall in like Michael Scott in that one episode of The Office?
The koi pond? Yeah. Amazing episode where he follows the GPS right into the koi pond
We got to get Tony Stewart on the show to confirm this. But maybe this is just a fantasy I had. Like, yeah, to be able to fish and play golf, I can't imagine. If you had enough acres, why not?
I want to read some poll results here just really quickly, circling back to something we talked about earlier in the show. Who do you have more faith in this season, Pearl? I'm surprised at the results. We were giving you two teams, the Rams or the 49ers.
Ooh, I have no idea who won this.
The Rams by a lot, 69% to 31% right now, that you have more faith in the Rams than the 49ers this season.
I think the Rams are very, very interesting. I'll tell you why. They were the toughest team the Eagles faced last year in the playoffs, including the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, that was a hell of a game. If it wasn't snowing, I wonder if the Rams would actually win that game.
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles were way up and they let them come back But yeah, it's a valid question. And I think that defense is just going to take another step. McVay's a great coach. I just worry, we started the show off, I fear injuries in San Francisco.
See, I fear them in L.A., just specifically with Matthew Stafford, because what are the couple things you actually remember from that divisional round of the NFC playoffs last year? It was the snow, and then it was Matthew Stafford got drilled in that game a couple times, and he keeps getting up. But he's 37 years old.
All those, Brady got drilled late in his career and kept coming back.
Brady protected himself way more than Stafford does. You should
see, look at some of the late career hits, including the concussion in the Super Bowl. Like, he got drill. Busy. You know, when you're old, you become a pocket quarterback. You got to stand in there.
Crazy.
By the way, I'm looking at the indoor stream at Tony Stewart's house.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Can I just, like, wow.
He lives right next to a river, and he siphoned off part of it. And, you know, water never freezes over, so.
Wait, what?
I mean, water is always running. Like, rivers always, rivers don't freeze over, right? They always have to have some current going, or you have a major problem.
very cool. Guess,
Right. Like I'm terrible at this. At some point underneath all the ice, the water has to be running. So I don't know what my point is. I love that you're like, well, what if it's too cold and the water doesn't work?
Your point is that it's cool that he has this in his house.
Yeah. Your point is also valid. What if you're hammered and you fall into your river?
That's what I'm saying.
But I'm looking at it, man. He has some foliage protecting it. So
yeah, it can knock over that foliage easily. Was that a palm tree? No.
He kind of looks like he's a prospector, you know, like he's searching for gold, like panning for gold in a river.
It says there's a 2-story waterfall in the house.
Wouldn't it be like
it's like a
like
Bass
moist
Pro
in
shop.
There? Yeah, but
it is a Bass Pro. Wait, was he ever?
I don't know
by
what
Bass Pro shop.
I don't know if I'm looking at Tony Stewart's house or a Bass Pro shop.
Did Tony Stewart at one point drive the 14 Bass Pro Shops car?
You're Manny Tires. You tell us. Salt Bay.
Oh, he's got a bowling alley. That's.
Oh, is that the ultimate rich person thing?
It's one of them, yeah. That, come on. Now, I know you want a tennis
You're
court.
Speechless.
Yeah, if Maggie and Perloff gets the money we deserve, we're all getting bowling alleys in the house.
Yes.
We each get our own alley. That'd be great. Before we let you go today, got to bring you some amazing sound. Obviously, Ozzy Osbourne passed away yesterday. What a legend. He has one of the most memorable renditions of Take Me Out to the Ball Game that you're ever going to hear. This is Ozzy at a Cubs game. Take a listen.
1, 2, 3, and let's go out to the ball game. Let's go out to the river. Take me in the river. Bring us into. I don't remember what I have to do. And I've run out of the you're out at the old ball game.
Yeah. All right, he landed the plane.
Nailed it.
We got there.
Nailed it.
By the way, we were toying around with a show road trip to Wrigley.
Yeah.
That's what half of us would sound like by the time we got to the seventh inning if we were drinking so much we actually had to wear those adult diapers.
Maybe you, Maggie. I don't know, but I can control my alcohol.
Yeah, let's see. I challenge that.
Oh, those drunk texts we get on the weekend says otherwise, Maggie, Manny.
Yeah, I like the ones that come in around 3, 4 a.m.
Well, we got to keep in mind, Maggie said if the fan cam ever goes on her, she's not going to be caught in an affair, but she will immediately chug her beer.
That's right.
Which was talking big. And listen, I don't know if they have a fan cam at Wrigley, but that could be a scene.
I'm still down to chug that beer. I don't even need. I don't even need a Jumbotron
and
for that.
And to go full circle, you could throw up in your Yeti, then go home and wash out and keep using it.
Gross.
Of all the things I never thought I'd live down, guess that's one of them. The biggest one. Thank you, EJ Stewart. Thank you, Manny Rodriguez, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, Weedos, Coffee Drinkers. You guys are amazing, even when you're mad at me. See you tomorrow.